All right, so we're looking at lesson 11, and so we're considering the thought again of what is the fruit of the Spirit, and then what is the devil's counterfeit work of the flesh. Last week we considered love versus self-love. Love is the willing sacrifice, giving oneself for the benefit of others without thought of return, right? And the difference with self-love is you're giving, but with the thought of return. And if you don't get any return, you stop loving, right? And that's of the flesh. God's love doesn't stop, right? So this week, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit of joy versus the counterfeit work of the flesh, frustration, okay? All right, so as it says there, joy is one of the most enjoyable fruits of the Spirit to experience in our daily life, but at the same time is one of the most difficult in which to yield. Okay? And so we want to understand this. We lack joy only because we fail to yield to it. Okay? Most Christians think joy is missing in their lives because of something that they do not have. Okay? And the truth is we are full of the joy of the Lord. It is our strength. And it's just as we fail to yield to the Holy Spirit, so rather than being our strength, it becomes our weakness. Right? So, joy is defined as a cheerful, calm delight in all the circumstances of life. A few kids with yours, it's being glad even though your circumstances may be bad, right? So, we've already seen that God is going to put us into situations that will try our faith, okay? And those situations and circumstances are designed to break the outer man, our soul, and develop the inner man, which is our spirit. So as the inner man grows and develops, we become more of a spirit-led believer when we yield to his prompting. Okay? So then, living a Christ-like life under the power of the Holy Spirit is the best way for us to influence the lives of others. This maximizes our God-given gifts for the benefit of our families, our churches, our communities, and his kingdom. And this is the life of Christ flowing through us. Okay? And so this, everybody got this page? So this process is described in Romans 8, and verses 28 and 29. Okay? That's the next thing. Alright? So this is what the verse says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so we want to dissect and define these verses phrase by phrase. Okay? And so first off, we think of all things. So does that mean just the good things that we think are good? Or does it mean, does all mean all? Absolutely. So it's everything that happens, both what we consider good and what we consider bad. So all things, okay, and that says they work together. So they work together, that's the idea that they produce a result, okay? So they produce a result, and it's they work together for good. So in a way that is advantageous, right? It's not negative, it's positive, right? And it's for them that love God. Okay? And so if we love God, it's the thought that we willingly give of ourselves to God without thought of return. Right? We're not serving God because of what we're going to get back, even though there are rewards and blessings that we get. But that's not why we do it. We just do it out of love. Right? And so it's kind of interesting because you realize how if your love part isn't right, the joy part won't be right either, right? If we're not loving God, not loving other people, how can we have joy, right? Okay, so Everybody got that one? Or you can copy it off your mom. You good? All right. So, to them that love God, to them are called according to His purpose. And what is His purpose? To be conformed to the image of His Son. Right? That's the whole idea. That the reason why He saved us is He wants to make us like Jesus. Right? Okay. So then, for whom He did foreknow, and that's to know ahead of time. The Greek word is actually prognosis. Okay? What does a doctor, if he gives you a prognosis, what does that mean? A prognosis. He basically tells you this is what's going to happen. Okay? Because he kind of has an idea. And of course, a doctor doesn't know as much as God knows, right? So for whom He did foreknow, know in advance. So that's the idea, okay, who He knew was going to trust Him as Savior, right? Then He did predestinate, okay? So that's two words, pre and destinate, okay? So what does pre mean?
Before.
And so He has a destiny before, right? So it's the kind of thing. He has an idea. This is where I want you to head to. And so He predestinated us. So He pre-planned or He ordained beforehand. And it is that we would be conformed. And conformed is the idea of being poured into a mold. Okay? So you take the shape of that mold. Okay? Conformed, and then I, to the image of His Son. So the likeness of Christ. So we want to be like Jesus, right? So that He might become the firstborn. Firstborn is in order of birth. And He's of many brethren. Where we, for others, become brothers as a result. Right? So He's not just an only child. He gets all these others that are brothers, right? And we all get, or sisters, of course. What's that? Yeah. What's the idea is that God wants to have a whole bunch of children. And so He's got one that was the only begotten, but then He has all the rest of us that are adopted. But He doesn't want us to, He wants us all to look like His children, right? He wants us to act like His Son Jesus, okay? And one, and we, He doesn't want us to just act, because if we're acting, we'd be a bunch of bad actors. But He wants us to be like Jesus, right? Okay, so, everybody got that? More or less? Okay, off to the next slide. Alright, so God offers the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. Okay? So we want to understand God's purpose in allowing various circumstances in our lives. Because as we do so, it sheds a new light on our trials, adversities, hardships, and persecutions. So then, when we understand that, everything that happens to us, both good or bad, is intended by God to produce a positive, Spirit-led action or reaction. So knowing this also shows the danger of rejecting the Spirit's leading to responding to a particular circumstance with the fruit of joy. So you see that when difficult circumstances arise, we're actually being given the opportunity to express joy. Okay? We have the opportunity given to us by God, we can rejoice in any circumstance. And why is that? It's because we know God is working it out for our good. Okay? So, you get a flat tire. Okay. Say, okay, Lord, I'm still going to have joyful because you got a reason for it. Maybe there was like going to be this big truck that was barreling down the road a mile ahead and with us. Swerved and smashed, didn't he run you over and you would have been dead, right? So God had you have a flat tire, so then you wouldn't be in the way of that big truck. Who knows? Some of these things we won't find out until we get to heaven, right? But it's kind of the thing, okay, there's a reason for it, I mean, I don't know the reason, but it's going to work out for good, right? So I can be joyful in it. So as we meditate on His plan, it reminds us that everything happens for our good and for His glory. And so this truth further reminds us, by yielding to the Spirit and displaying joy, we could be leading others close to becoming a fellow believer in Christ. For the things happen, what do most everybody else does? It's like, complain, complain. See, I remember there's this one preacher, and his name was Gerard Du Toit, and he came home and he was telling his wife about some of the bad things that happened. And she said to him, "You should work at the airport." And he's like, "Why? Why would I want to work at the airport for?" And he says, "Because you do complain, complain, complain." And so that's what everybody tends to do, right? That's what we tend to do if we're in the flesh. God wants to say, "Oh, hey, this is happening. I want you. I'm giving you the opportunity to express joy." Okay? And so, if people see that, they say, "Hey, how can you do that? How can you have joy when the circumstances are bad?" And it's because I've got the Spirit in me, right? So this cheerful acceptance and calm delight in difficult circumstances produces a hole in the outer man that allows the inner man to shine through. Okay? Some difficult circumstances are long-lasting. Okay? You think of Paul, he had this thorn in the flesh. Some kind of physical thing that just was always there, he couldn't get rid of, right? And he was never given freedom from that. But often when we respond properly to adversity, it removes the edge. The difficulties often fade or become easier to manage. Okay? But, of course, like all the fruits of the Spirit, there is a fleshly alternative. Okay? So we have the work of the flesh called frustration. Okay? The devil offers this counterfeit, and it stimulates our flesh. It produces a self-righteous response. It is the work of the flesh, frustration. This is a far cry from Spirit-led joy, yet many believers prefer the level of contentment that comes from a continually frustrated life. Okay? And we can define frustration. So, of course, this is the one it misses. So I will read it out to you. It says, frustration is a rejection or unhappy refusal in the circumstances of life. Okay, I'll read that again. A rejection or unhappy refusal in the circumstances of life. Okay. Yeah, I know that. I just said that. That's why I read it out, because it's, I put it on the thing, but for some reason it didn't show. Don't ask me why. Alright, so, in any unwanted circumstances, we can choose to either respond with joy or with frustration. The truth is that most of our fellow Christians will accept either response as good behavior. Okay? And so, most Christians do not identify frustration as a work of the flesh. They will respect a display of joy, but they will pity a display of frustration. They'll be like, "Oh, you poor guy. Life's rough." But we want to understand, frustration is not acceptable. It stems from negative thoughts, desires, and emotions. If the heart looks to the soul rather than the spirit, we are guaranteed to respond after the flesh. When they're getting frustrated. Yeah.
Into, well, you can still have joy about this.
Okay. Well, like, I think kind of with what we've explained thus far, it's kind of the idea that, I say, like, just remember with this verse that everything works out for good, right? And like, it's all things and all means all. And so, how how could this work out for good? What's something that's a good thing with? This is... Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it takes, you have to be able to trust his love, trust that he knows best. And the challenge with it is like helping a person just because like some bad thing can happen and they'll just say, well, no, I can't see how this was good at all. But it may be years before they actually see it, but it's kind of thing, a difficult situation, you have the choice of how you can react with frustration, or you can say, I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm going to keep having joy regardless. And so it's yielding to that spirit of joy that's what our strength should be. And so if we can keep that, it keeps us strong. If we let it go, it makes us weak. Okay? And so it's a thought that if the heart looks to the soul rather than the spirit, we're guaranteed to respond after the flesh. And that's why Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the thing is that we cannot respond properly to life's difficult circumstances if our heart is consumed with negative, pessimistic, critical thinking. It will automatically reject joy and yield to frustration. Okay? And many people when counseling or talking to someone who is enduring difficult circumstances will say, I understand your frustration. That's like saying, I understand your crack cocaine addiction. Right? And so we want to understand, good flesh is just as bad as bad flesh. Okay? That we want to understand, this is a counterfeit work of the flesh of the devil. Yes, it's not these really bad ones, but it's still not any good. And the truth is, God cannot be pleased when we walk after the flesh, because no matter what justification we give, the frustration is never an appropriate response. Okay? And that's kind of like what we talked about, or what Dr. Davis talks about with anger. Okay? So often we try to find every which way to justify our anger. Okay? And as well, we look at every opportunity to justify frustration. That's like, if this happened differently, then I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't be frustrated. But the thing is, we got to learn to deal with those things and instead respond with joy. Okay? And so, we want to realize this, that God has purposes for allowing adversity in our lives. Okay? And these are maybe things that you can bring about that can maybe help a person, right? So first of all, he wants to wound the outer man, because we want to put him to death. We don't want him to be running the show anymore, right? We want to weaken him, not strengthen him. We want to allow the inner man to shine through, okay, where the Spirit within us is leading us as it listens to the Holy Spirit, okay? His purpose is to display to others your love for God, okay? Because if you love God, you're going to keep His commandments. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, so you want to obey, right? So then, letter D, to conform you to be like Christ. And that's really always the thing. Like, I know they've had that saying, what would Jesus do? But it's the idea of it. It's like God wants us to look at the life of Jesus as our example. How did he respond in a similar situation? That's how I need to respond. And we don't see him expressing that, okay? Then E, to lead others to salvation in Christ, okay? If you're going to respond the same as everybody else, nobody's going to know any different. But if you respond very differently, they're going to ask, okay, what's going on? How can you do that, right? So if you respond to circumstances after the flesh, then you'll be forced to keep facing those same circumstances again and again. Okay? And that's kind of the thing. God gives us tests. If we don't pass the test, we've got to take the test again. Right? How many people like taking tests over and 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 over again? I don't think any of us do. So that's why God wants us to learn the first time. Okay? Furthermore, if we don't yield to joy, we may have to suffer even more severe circumstances in order to figure it out. Okay? And that's kind of the thing, is sometimes we don't get it, so God has to help us learn the hard way. And He'd prefer to us learn the easy way, but that doesn't always happen. But the thing is, God is going to break down our flesh and develop His Spirit in our lives. So if we want to be like Christ, we can be, but we have to allow God to place us in circumstances that are going to wound us. Okay, and then when that happens, we have to properly respond to those circumstances. Okay? And only then will we be a refined vessel that's ready to be used. And so that's not something that sounds good, of God putting in us a place where we're wounded. Okay? Where we're hurt by someone else, generally. Okay? But we think of how Jesus, He was wounded by many people, right? People that physically hurt Him, people that rejected Him, people that abandoned Him, that were supposed to be His disciples, right? But there's a lot of wounds, but He didn't get frustrated, right? He didn't lash out and complain. Okay, and so that's what we want to do. We want to learn to respond properly, to keep joy no matter what happens. And of course, this is easier said than done. And sometimes we remember this truth too late to apply it. And we can see, though, how it applies. When we accept things and we respond with joy, things usually get better. When we reject things and respond with frustration, they seem to only get worse. Okay, so yielding to the Spirit produces the fruit of joy. Okay, it erases the work of the flesh. And that joy brings Christ-likeness and the conversion of unbelievers. You have a choice between the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, and the work of the flesh, frustration, every circumstance of life. Refusing to choose joy keeps you in bondage to the flesh and simply produces repeated difficult circumstances. Okay? And so that's what we really have to do. When things do not go well, when we have expectations that are disappointed, getting frustrated is not going to make things any better. If anything, it's going to make it worse. But when things happen that disappoint us and our expectations are not met and just things don't work out the way that we want, then we have to choose, I'm going to respond with joy. I'm not going to let this beat me. I'm not going to be defeated by this and lose my joy. Okay? And remember the song that we made up. Okay? It's a brand new day, and I'm going to say that I'm not going to let anything take my joy away. Okay? And we have to remember that. Okay? I think I have it here somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. Not rainy days, nor stormy nights, not frumpy clothes, nor itchy tights. Not sour milk, nor rotten eggs, not colds or flus or broken legs. not sloppy mud, nor slippery ice, not crazy winds, nor thieving mice, not grumpy goats, nor cranky cows, not pecking hens, nor stinky sows, not hurtful words, nor nasty names, nor missing goals or losing games. Because it's a brand new day, and I am here to say that I'm not going to let anything take my joy away. Okay? And so we want to remember that. Okay? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay? Something happens, and it's bad, it's discouraging, it's depressing. We say, I'm not going to let it beat me. I'm still going to have joy. Okay? And we almost, it's like this, where some bad happens and we just say to the devil, that's the best you got. That's not stopping me. I'm still going to have joy in the Lord. Okay? And we keep doing that. We keep having joy. The more we learn to do that, then the more God's glorified, more people are influenced for good. Okay? So any thoughts or questions before we conclude? No? Alrighty. Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your love for us. And we thank you for this truth, Lord. Just help us to learn to yield to your joy, not get frustrated when things don't go the way we hope. Because we know you're working in us, Lord. You're trying to make us into what you want us to be so that you can use us in a great and mighty way. Just pray you'd help us to yield to the fruit of your spirit of joy so that you can people can see your love and joy shine through us. We ask so in Jesus' name. Amen.